Welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
And we are the Pleasure Mechanics. And in this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by going to pleasuremechanics.com and hitting the Ask Us Anything button. Also at pleasuremechanics.com, you can check out our complete suite of online courses designed to help you become a better lover and have the amazing sex life you deserve.
As you know, many of our episodes are inspired by questions written in by listeners. This episode is a little different. It was inspired by a conversation we had recently when we were out in Los Angeles for a friend's wedding. And we were talking to this friend, and he and I go way back, and I was asking how their relationship was doing. They're this young, gorgeous couple, great careers, beautiful house, everything's going right for them. And he says, yeah, you know, our relationship's pretty good. I just wish she would pay more attention to me. And I asked what he meant by that, and he said, she's just always on her iPhone.
Checking Facebook, specifically.
Right. And this really stood out to me and struck me, and I've been thinking about it over a few months, that the biggest complaint my friend had about his relationship was an iPhone. And I think he's not alone. And as you start looking around culture, you realize that this technology that's really only a few years old, smartphones specifically, have massively changed our patterns of social behavior, and specifically where we place our attention in moments of downtime and leisure time and in between other tasks. And I think it's this in-between time and this choice of where we're placing our attention that actually has a tremendous impact on a lot of relationships and sex lives. So we're going to dig into this today, how technology and intimacy are related to one another and how we can choose to focus our attention on using technology well so it enhances our lives and deepens our intimacy and break the patterns that allow technology to sabotage our lives.
And I think that's such a wonderful point that it can be a complete benefit and an intimacy enhancing tool, or totally detrimental and distract us from our relationships. And it's important to know the difference and to know how we can harness them and use them as we wish.
Right, and this is what they say of every technology, going back to the discovery of fire. Fire can be used to fuel civilization, or it can burn down everything in sight. Every technological advance has the capacity to enhance our lives or hurt our lives and hurt our social relationships. And so we are not Luddites by any stretch of the imagination. We love technology. It's what allows us to talk to you, after all. And our entire business is dependent on internet technology to reach people all around the world. And nothing gives us more pleasure than when one of our online courses reaches someone in a place like Singapore or Saudi Arabia or rural Alabama, where we would never be able to get to in person to deliver sex education and our message of pleasure. And so we love technology, biggest fans, woohoo! But we notice these ways that it impacts our social relationships and our sexual relationships. And so that's what we want to talk about today, of how to make best use of it and not let it drag us down.
Because ultimately, it's always going to be about choices. The tools will stay the same, and then we use them as we see fit.
So iPhones and smartphones are the most recent manifestation of communication technology that dates back to cave drawings. And you can trace a line of technological advances from cave drawings to the iPhone in your pocket. I remember when the iPhone was announced. I was actually in Charlotte's home in the Redwoods. It was one of the first years of our relationship, and I watched the live stream of Steve Jobs announcing the iPhone. And I remember calling her. She was at work as a massage therapist at the time, and I called her and I was like, this is going to be huge. This is amazing. I was so excited. Couldn't wait to get my hands on one. And just a few short years later, smartphones and Androids and all of the iPhone mimics are in millions and millions of pockets. Almost everyone has one. It's almost considered rude not to have one. And that's how quickly this technology has infiltrated our society. And what iPhones and smartphones do is they allow you to access a wealth of information at the push of a fingertip, which is amazing. How many times have we been in conversation and been debating about a point and we just pull out the iPhone and get facts right away? It also allows you access to all these social networks like Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest. And I think this is where the problem comes in.
The slippery slope begins.
Yes. So it might not even be an issue of smartphones as much as smartphones in combination with social networking. Because social networks beckon us to refresh the page over and over again in search of something new, something novel, something interesting, exciting, something to capture our attention. And whether this is your friend's wedding pictures or the wedding pictures of someone you've never really even met but are posted on Facebook and you're captivated, whether it's the newest home decor ideas on Pinterest, whether it's your business tweets on Twitter, whatever it is that you're constantly searching for, it's this constant search for something new. And it is this constant siren's call of the most fascinating thing is just one click away. Refresh me, and I will entertain you. And what that does is it takes us out of the present moment. It asks us to pay attention to our little 3-inch screen rather than the world around us in that very moment of real lived lives. And by extension, our relationships, the people we are sitting next to, we ignore in favor of the smartphone. And if you want to look at this point in action, go to any restaurant and look around at the tables waiting for their orders. At least half of the people will be on their phones rather than in conversation with the people they're sitting next to.
And of course, there's so much to benefit from reading articles, from all of the information that we can access on these phones, the people we're staying in touch with because of these social networks. But it's so important to create boundaries around our use so that we can both continue to cultivate our intellectual and our business lives, our social lives, and our immediate relationships. Because the people that we are living life in closest proximity to are often deprioritized in favor of being uber connected at a level that perhaps we don't need to be in certain moments. So really making choices around when we put down our phones, when we turn it off, when we disable the sounds and the alerts, like these are really active choices that we can make that can make a really big difference to the level of intimacy and connection we're actually able to foster with our lover or our family and our kids, the people that are immediately around us. And it's a small act, but it can go a really long way.
Right, because the biggest complaint we get from couples, or one of the biggest, is I don't have enough time with my lover. There's not enough quality time. We're not intimate enough. It's like we're strangers living together. And I think part of the reason this is because we miss those micro moments of connection. So when you're driving together to the grocery store, when you're waiting for your food at a restaurant, when you're during commercial breaks, when you're watching TV, the moments before bed, all of these moments of our lives that seem small in the moment, and it can feel like, well, it's no big deal. We're just driving to the grocery store and I'm checking my iPhone. What's the big deal? The big deal is that those 5 and 10 minute periods add up to hours a week that you are choosing not to connect with your lover. And when you do that, you grow distant from one another. And this is both physically and emotionally. If your hand, one hand is holding the iPhone and the other hand is pecking away at the screen, you're not touching your partner. If you put that iPhone down and rest your hand instead on their thigh as they drive, and then by extension, start talking to them and asking them questions about their day, about their lives, about your future goals, you are connecting both physically and emotionally, and that's what adds up to this culture of pleasure we talk about in a relationship. It keeps things warm, so it's easier to get hot later when you're ready to be sexually intimate. But if you haven't touched or spoken to one another all week, it's very hard then to get in the mood for sex on Saturday night when you have the opportunity to do so. So these things do matter.
Yeah, these micro moments, as we're calling them, really do add up. So taking advantage of standing in line in a coffee shop to ask someone a question, to ask your lover a question instead of checking the phone, like these moments do make a difference over time. And it is, again, a small adjustment that adds up to a big result over months and years. And it's a practice. It's hard. We are totally guilty of this. And we've recently been putting into practice not checking our phone when we're in the presence of each other. If somebody gets up to go to the bathroom at a restaurant, then we're saying
we lunge.
Yeah. But we're about to have a kid, and we really wanted to put into practice now this idea of being present with each other so that the kid doesn't see that we are paying more attention to our phone than to them. And I'm sure we'll have to refresh this commitment again and again because it's so seductive. I mean, it's so appealing. You just want to check. And so it's hard, but I think it's important. And some people choose to take a whole day off every weekend and just switch the internet off. Other people we know have other friends that turn it off at 5 p.m. at the end of their workday. And the people that are trying this are having amazing results.
Everyone is so happy with it. I've never heard anyone take a technology diet or put boundaries around technology and then regret it.
Yeah, it seems like people love it. We go away once at least for a week, sometimes up to a month, to a lakeside cabin where we have no internet. And it's crazy. I mean, there's all this time all of a sudden that you have. And there are moments where it's annoying because you want to look up something that you're having a conversation about that you can't remember, you know. So it's, but overall, I think taking these moments away is intentional. It's an interruption, but I think it can be an amazing benefit to our relationship.
So that's the first major point we want to make, is choosing where you pay attention day in and day out in those 5 and 10 minute periods between the major tasks of life. And if, especially when you're in the presence of your lover, choosing to put away your phone and pay attention to your relationship, both physically and emotionally, will have major benefits. And I'll add, even if you're alone in the world, and I've practiced this sometimes when Charlotte gets up to go to the bathroom at a coffee shop, instead of lunging for the phone, I'll keep it away and I'll look around and I'll notice the people around me. I'll notice the smells and the sounds and become sensually aware. I have a much more pleasant experience because I'm not just interacting in the world through a little screen. I'm interacting through all of my senses. So that's our first major point, is pay attention to where you're placing your attention and choose deliberately. And this kind of goes into our second point, which is, Charlotte said, some of our friends at the end of their workday turn off their Wi-Fi routers. And another big problem with iPhones is they allow you to bring your work home. And depending on what job you have, a lot of us are really guilty of using our smartphones to stay connected to work 24/7. And I have been guilty of this. I'll be checking my iPhone before bed and I'll get a Ask Us Anything question from one of you all. Mm-hmm. And I'll literally get out of bed and go boot up my computer to answer it. And your email could wait till the morning. There's no need I need to get back to you at 11 o'clock at night, but I will because I'm so committed to my job. And so many of us feel like we need to stay ahead of the game and answer clients' emails and be available 24/7 for our work. And this creates an intense level of stress and anxiety that really interferes with our sex lives.
Absolutely. One of the biggest impediments to our sex life in general in culture right now is stress. And so if we are bringing work home, literally getting out of the bedroom in order to answer work emails, we are bringing stress into our relationship and into our bedroom unnecessarily. And the only solution to that is switching off earlier. And again, creating boundaries around how much work we take home, and allowing there to be work time and play time and pleasure time and family time and, you know, really
right. It used to be you got off at 5 o'clock and you were done with your day. Unless you were a doctor on call, you were done because your office phone was in the office and it was never going to ring in your bedroom. And you could then turn your attention to hobbies and your relationships. And now everyone is working into the wee hours of night, checking their phones again and again.
Right. And of course, checking it first thing when you wake up. Like, we know all these things are not supposed to be good for us and they're hard not to do. But I think if we try and kind of see it in the big picture.
And experiment.
Yeah.
Experiment with not checking your phone after 6 p.m. for 3 days in a row and asking your partner to do the same and seeing what changes. Do a little micro experiment. Did you get in trouble at work for not answering clients' emails? Probably not. And if you did, maybe there's an opportunity to have a conversation with your office mates and your boss, because probably everyone would love to not check their emails, but they all feel like they have to keep up. What happens if we change our behaviors in relationship to these devices? And that's really what this conversation is about, is making conscious choices about the patterns of behaviors we think are acceptable and normal, and more consciously choosing what relationships we want to have with these devices.
Changing what our experience of normal is and adjusting that and seeing if it feels better.
And that brings us to another point, is experiencing life's precious moments, life's beautiful moments, exciting moments, through our senses rather than through our phones. And photography on the phones is the biggest culprit of this. Last summer, we were on a whale watching expedition in California, and we noticed that everyone on the boat, literally the decks were lined with people all holding up their phones waiting to get that picture of the whale breaching. Meanwhile, they were looking at their phones instead of the whale in the ocean that they had just come out to look at. And I think this is so common at weddings. You'll see this sea of phones as people are walking down the aisle. In all of life's most precious moments, we are so eager to capture the moment and document it that we forget to actually experience it. And I think this is a huge point, because just a few years ago, when cameras had a 36 exposure roll of film in it, we would take a couple pictures and then stop. And then when the cake was being cut, we would take a few pictures and then stop. We would not snap endlessly and go through 1,000 exposures in one evening. And now with limitless memory, we're just snapping and snapping and snapping and forgetting to put the phone down. So we think taking photos is amazing. It's an amazing opportunity to archive your life and capture the moments. But we invite you to experiment with taking just a few photos, snap off a few rounds, and then put the phone in your pocket and immerse yourself in the experience.
Yeah, I think that's this really interesting distinction between capturing the experience so that you can remember it later on in life and tell the stories about how fabulous that day was, whatever you were doing. So remembering the moment really well versus experiencing the entire day through your phone, through your camera. The essential part is focusing on how the experience is feeling instead of documenting how it looks. And that is, I think, such an important point in how we can be living richer lives. We can get so seduced in trying to show what a beautiful and exquisite life we're living that we're forgetting to actually live it. And just shifting the balance there is so important. And if you really want to be photographing every single meal that you have, perhaps instead of posting it on Facebook in that exact moment, you could post it on your commute home when you're no longer with the person that you're having dinner with. You know, it's these small adjustments so that you're able to be present to your experience instead of focused on documentation and sharing.
And that whale watching trip really brought it home for me, because the truth is, no amateur photographer can get a picture of a whale's tail flipping out of the water in a way that a National Geographic photographer has already captured it. And if you want to brag about the fact that you saw these whales, you can do so in words and then post a picture from National Geographic and no one knows the fucking difference anymore. But instead, we're all getting these like smudgy, crappy photos and forgetting to experience the majesty of being with these animals. We're so focused on that social share that we miss the experience. And Charlotte and I, once we put the phone away, we allowed ourselves to be in that experience of awe of, look how humongous this animal is, and look at the splash it creates, and ooh, there's another one coming, and there were these huge herds of dolphins, hundreds and hundreds of dolphins, and I tried to take pictures of them, and it just looks like specks in a sea of gray. It does nothing to capture the excitement and the joy and the laughter that these dolphins were bringing to us. And so I think in so many moments of our lives, we limit how much we allow ourselves to feel by the documentation element. And the extension of this point is that if you're going to take pictures, do something with them. Don't just allow them to sit on your hard drive. Archive them, curate them, create books. You know, there's great services now where you can create custom photo books. And so if once a year you went through your photos, picked out the best, printed out a book, and then you could pull that off the shelf once in a while and share it with your loved ones, your kids, and tell the stories of the best parts of your life, there is a huge benefit to telling your stories again and again and reminding one another of all that you have to be grateful about. And that's the opportunity with these phones, is that they can capture these moments so we can look back and reflect upon them later with gratitude and send them to each other in an email being like, remember the beautiful meal we had after the sunset photo was shot? Let's go back there next anniversary. Or look how young and radiant we were at this hike in the Redwoods. Maybe it's time we started hiking again. We used to really love that. You can use them as anchors in your life to reflect on what you have enjoyed and valued. And that is the opportunity. And yet so many of us spend so much time taking photos and no time looking back on them. So think about that. What is your relationship to photographing your life, sharing it on social networks versus enjoying your life, experiencing it fully, and then using those photos to reflect back upon with gratitude and joy?
Yeah, I think there's evidence that relationships where people are together remembering the good times that they've shared over time are happier, that it actually makes a difference in the quality of your relationship if you are remembering all of the happy moments and joyful peak moments that you've shared together, and retelling the stories is a valuable asset within the relationship.
Completely. And photos can really help us do that, help us remember where we've been, and help us plan future goals of where we want to go together.
It's also valuable to remember that, of course, we can use technology in a way to cultivate our relationships. So whether that is using texting or sexting, we did a whole episode on sexting at some point in our podcast history. So we went deep into that. But texting, where we're really using that as an example to pay attention to one another throughout the day, can be a lovely asset to the relationship instead of using it as a distraction away from your lover when you're with them.
I've even heard people talk about if they're in the mood for sex and their partner's on the computer in another room in the house, they'll send them an email saying, I'm in the bedroom waiting for you, come join me. And so using texting or email as a form of seduction, and that can be an interesting thing, or sending one another little snippets of erotica that you've written, or just simple messages throughout the day. Can't wait to see you when you get home. I'm really looking forward to a long hug. That will build intimacy over time. And you really want to think about what is the emotional experience you want your partner to feel when they receive your text or your email, and build that intention into your message so it's received in the way you intend.
Yeah, sending love notes through any form, texting, emails, voicemails, any of these things is always going to be an asset to your relationship. Just letting them know what you appreciate about them. As Chris said, what you're looking forward to, what you've enjoyed in the past, like all of these moments. It can just take a few moments, like as you're sitting on your commute and you're bored, you know, using that time richly can build moments of intimacy and connection with our lovers. And it's way quicker than sending something in the post.
Although a good old-fashioned love letter is also an amazing thing, and I think we should bring them back. And everything we've talked about here in terms of your lover, your partner, is easily applicable to your friends and your children and any other relationship in your life. And I think that really, if we start thinking about what our priorities are, where the real benefits of social connection are found, where the tremendous impacts of our time and attention can be, then the seduction of Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest start to fade away a little bit. And there's actually evidence Facebook's on the decline. Fewer teens are using it. It's a little bit, people are realizing that as seductive as it is, the ultimate impact of it in our lives is not really that exciting, but you can use it purposefully. So some of the things I've started to do is I go on Facebook, and if there's a friend I'm curious about, and I think about, oh, I haven't heard from them in a while, I'll put their name in the search bar, go look at their profile, see what they've updated, and then I'll send them a message. And I'll say, how'd that marathon go? Or you're finishing up your PhD soon. What are your future plans? And so I actually initiate a one-on-one personal connection with someone rather than just trolling the news feed and looking for something that I can be voyeuristically interested in. And that's actually served to rekindle really interesting relationships and reconnect with people from my past that I actually have a lot of common with now. The other thing I do is I defriend people. Ooh, like that's a really naughty word nowadays. But if someone is not in good resonance with my values, and every time I see something on the newsfeed from them and it pisses me off or I get judgmental, I take them out of my newsfeed. And you can unfollow people or unfriend them. And you can really start to curate your own experience and fill Facebook with the people that make you feel positive and happy and interested and excited about life. I think some of us become kind of sadists and masochists on Facebook, and we enjoy and revel in being judgmental and bitchy about other people's lives to feel better about our own, rather than surrounding ourselves with people that uplift us. And this may seem like a tangent, but how you feel when you get off the computer really affects the rest of the quality of your life, including your relationships and your sex life. And so if you're getting off Facebook feeling snarky and judgmental, like that is not serving you and it's not doing you any favors in the bedroom. So just start thinking about curating your own online experience with more attention and deliberate, focused intention so you can have the experience you want to be having.
And I set timers for myself now. I have like a little online timer that I set. So I decide before I start how long I am interested in being on whatever, so yeah, mostly Facebook, and just turn it off after that. And it's hard, and sometimes you want to keep going, and there's all these different articles you want to read, and you know, it sucks you in. But I think it's an interesting way of creating boundaries, because I'm not necessarily interested in not being there at all, but I do want to have a life outside of it as well. So I think there are lots of different ways that are going to feel right for each of us to play with and navigate how we use these tools.
Right, and Charlotte and I have very different personalities and learning styles, and so we use these tools in different ways, and we've helped support one another in finding the ways that are most beneficial. And so there's no one right way to use these tools, but you really need to think about and be deliberate about what is serving you in your life and what is sabotaging you. And if you, like my friend in California, bringing it full circle, if you feel like your partner is paying more attention to the iPhone than to you, and that's actually hurting your feelings, causing emotional distance, you need to say something and invite your partner into a different pattern of behavior so you feel like you're getting the attention you deserve out of the relationship. And we often talk about and think about relationships as a crucible for spiritual growth and personal growth and development. And this is one area you can really support one another in having a better relationship with technology so you can have a better relationship with each other and ultimately a better life together. So that's our invitation to you. Let us know how it goes and what strategies you use to keep technology as a tool for your benefit rather than a saboteur of your happiness. Let us know at pleasuremechanics.com, hit the Ask Us Anything button, and be in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
And I think there's no right or wrong with these things. It really has to be a personal experiment, and we are still figuring this out. And as technology changes, all of these things will have to be adjusted and changed
again and again.
So it's a constant.
On episode 182, we'll be talking about your relationship with holograms. And on 362, we'll be talking about cyborg sex. So stay tuned. Subscribe on iTunes so you never miss an episode. If you like what we're doing, leave us a rating or a review. It really helps us out and helps more people find the show. And you will be doing your part of making this world a sexier place, one click at a time.
And you may notice that we don't have any sponsors on this show. We like to keep it just you and us. So if you like what we're doing, please feel free to come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and check out our multimedia online courses that cover all different sexual skills so that you can master being a better lover and having the incredible sex life that you deserve.
Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com. Be in touch. Can't wait to hear from you. Thank you for listening. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.